thank you for joining us for the Help for Wounded Spirits broadcast. We exist to help those wounded and suffering through life's trials. Here is our host and best-selling author, Doug Carriger.
Great to be back with you. We certainly hope this finds you well and in the arms of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. He alone is worthy of our worship. He alone is worthy of this broadcast and coming on and you tuning into this radio station and all those things. We're just thrilled that you take the time to do this. And I've been wanting to say this since I looked at Appletics last week. I paid the $40 for the first time in a year. And we got some Vietnam folks listening to us. We don't know if you're American missionaries, Vietnamese, but it's a good little group. There's a handful of homes out there in Vietnam listening to us. So good morning, Vietnam, and good morning, everybody else around the world. We always point out our friends in Nepal and China and Japan and Korea, throughout Africa, the United States, its territories, its islands, Australia. We just want to say hi to all of you. We love you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you for being with us. We still have Kevin. He's still in Ocala. We'll get an update from him tomorrow. Or something. We're just going to jump right back in because you know this stuff is taking up all of our brain speed right now. It's our hard drives Amen. Are filled right now. We just our random access memory, the RAM is kind of right there too. It's kind of goofy. So we'll continue to move forward. So as we move forward, we find ourselves talking today about readiness. Now, readiness is a big deal, folks. So years ago, I told you guys I was on active duty. And then I got out after the first few years and went into the Army National Guard. And one of the things they talked about in the National Guard was that we always had to be ready, even though we only met one weekend a month and 2 weeks during the summer, we always had our readiness ready. They always expected us to be ready. We constantly would read stuff, look ahead, make sure we were there, and be part of that. So I think as you think about readiness, even the Coast Guard, within their motto, which is Semper Prepare, Semper Paratus. Oh, boy, I knew it. You know, it rolled off my tongue.
Paratus.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah. Always prepared. Semper Paratus. So if you think about that, folks, as Christians, as soldiers of the cross, we should always be prepared. So what does preparation look like? Well, it's, you know, in the Bible, it tells us in 2 Corinthians 10:6, and having a readiness to revenge all disobedience when your obedience is fulfilled. And, I'm not going to let disobedience be part of my life. It's not going to happen. Now they are performed the doing of it. It says in 2 Corinthians 8, that wonderful chapter about sending help to Jerusalem and that faith promise or grace given. Now therefore perform the doing of it, that as there was a readiness to will, so there may be a performance also out of that ye which you may have. And you know that ye have. And I was thinking about these readiness things And folks, one of the biggest problems we have as PTSD sufferers, trauma sufferers, junk we go through, life as some would call it, one of the biggest problems we have, honestly, is a readiness issue as Christians. We're not read up in our Bibles. We're not prayed up the way we should be. And folks, I'm not pointing at you being arrogant, trying to say you guys are worse off than me, because I'm going to let you in on some news. And it's true and it's real. Kevin and I aren't special. We're just some average guys the Lord called to do his work. And he calls people like you all the time. You know, there's no special breed of people that become ministers or something like that. George Washington, we're talking about Congress, even though Congress doesn't act like that today, went around and said, Congress is no better than the average person. If anything, they should listen more. They're probably worse off. Well, I think people in the ministry are the same way. We're not special. We have all the same limitations you do. We have to pray the same way you do. We go through our lives and relationships the same way you do. We have to read the Bible. So I guess what I'm saying to you is as we look at readiness, I want to put this in something that's really clear, is that this, be prepared, be ready, and do that through what God teaches us, not for forsaking the assembling. By knowing the word, by transforming your mind, and be not conformed over in Romans 12:2, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is good and acceptable and the perfect will of God. You get your mind ready in the Bible. And then the Bible tells us over in Hebrews to not forsake the assembling, as Kevin was saying. We're a body. And that's how we're prepared. That's how we're ready, Kevin.
Yeah. No, that's good. The readiness, I was just thinking, you know, if there's one thing that we need to be ready with is, like the Bible says, don't do things, this is in 1 Peter 5:2, don't do things for the wrong reason, like don't feed the flock of God with constraint, but willingly, not with filthy lucre, you know, don't do what you do for God because you have to. Boy, that's a big deal. You know, how many times do we say, well, I don't want to do this. I'm just going through the motions. I'm just not motivated. Well, what is motivation? Motivation is having a readiness. You know, just like, man, ready to go. I'm showing up for duty. Yeah. And that's easy to say, isn't it? But it's hard to do. But here's what the Bible says, nor a filthy lucre, not by constraint, but of a ready mind. So ready mind, you know, that word ready mind, I looked it up while you were talking, is comes from a Greek word that means to, you know, basically it's the prothumos, and the pro means proactively, leaning into something. Cheerfully, heartily, willingly, readily, promptly. So, you know, the idea, they use the word alacrity. The idea is that we are leaning into things. So readiness means I'm leaning into this. I'm leaning into this. And that takes hope. Hope means you are expecting something. We're saved by hope, it says, I think it's in the book of Romans. So as we go through it, our junk that we go through, you were talking about greeting people around the world, Doug. There are people in countries, I'm thinking about Ukraine. There's wars, but there are missionaries and there are Christians in these countries. And I'm sure they say, I'm waking up today. Are the sirens going to go off? Are drones going to come and destroy our building? You know, but yet they're out there, they're running food banks. They're, you know, they're helping people. They're helping with PTSD ministries too. I know I spoke to one that was going to the Ukraine. And, but you know what? That these individuals that I talk to, they have their own trauma that they grew up with. And Doug, like you said, we're all the same. We're cut out of the same fabric. Here's people. I mean, I remember talking to a missionary. The mother killed himself as a child in the presence of them. And so I'm talking to this person. They're like, yeah, it's my mom. Yeah, she leaned out the window when I was outside, as I recall, leaned out the window and blew her, you know, put a bullet through her head. But why would she do that? She's doing that to be vindictive against humanity and against the child. And there are people that project their trauma onto other people, and that'll mess you up. So the missionary I was talking about there, you know, they got junk. They're normal, but they're not normal. And listen, we may, like Doug said, we may seem normal, but we got our junk. We got baggage. We got stuff we've been through. And we say, okay, I'm a missionary, or I have this tough job, and I'm facing trauma through what I've been given God right now. So what do? We have to have a ready mind. We're leaning into this. I've got hope that God knows what he's doing. And there is an expected end, like we talked about. And as I look at what God's got for the future, I've got to be ready for it, because I will miss God's blessing if I'm not wanting to be in the place where God's ordained that he's going to show up and show out and make everything great.
Yeah. You know, and there's an urgency. I love what you're saying, brother. He's going to show up, make everything great. We need to be ready for that. You know, when I went back, as you were just talking, I was thinking, you know, in the Army, when you went to your first major exercises, like there's places you can go, like in the desert out in California, the National Training Center, and JRTC out there, the Joint Readiness Training Center in Fort Polk, Louisiana, and you know, over there in Grafenwöhr in Germany, and in Wildflicken in Germany, and over in France, and there's many places you go for readiness, and it's as close as you can come to a combat level experience. And the reason you do that is to be ultra ready. You know, they want to teach you how to kill and do your job with great efficiency. You know, you don't want to just be shooting at something. No, you want to be a crack shot. So in the military, you practice a bunch. You're constantly in all situations. You're practicing. You're ready. You're always there. And when we talk about readiness as a Christian, we want to be a crack shot. We want to know what the Bible has to say. We want to be watchful. We want to be watching for the signs that we talked about. We want to understand that there's a certain fulfillment that we talked about. We want to understand there's an unknown timing, but readiness has always got to be in a Christian life, just like it's in your marriage, just like you're ready for suppers or bringing the money home or whatever your role is with your spouse. You're ready for it. And what a difference you can make in that person's life by being ready. And it's the same way with God, being ready for God, letting him work in your heart, work in your time. And folks, I'll tell you, that's powerful. Hang with us. We'll be right back with you.
Doug will return shortly. Meanwhile, you're hearing this music while radio stations are identifying themselves and broadcasting advertisements.
Well, folks, we continue on with our exegetical study. We're in the book of Matthew. We're at the Olivet Discourse, and we're still in chapter 24 of the book of Matthew. Today, we're looking at verses 40 through 44. Then shall two, this is a verse that was quoted, I believe, 2 days ago by Kevin. Then shall two be in a field, the one shall be taken and the other left. Two women shall be grinding at the mill, and one shall be taken and the other left. Watch therefore, for ye know not what hour the Lord doth come. But know this, that if the good man of the house had known at what watch the thief would come, he would have watched and would have not suffered his house to be broken up. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such an hour ye think not the Son of Man cometh. Jesus, again here, he's speaking, and he's using this imagery, and I love imagery in the Bible. I love it when God makes things so practical for me, even my burnt-out PTSD mind can grasp it. You know, I don't have to grapple with it, I just grasp it, you know. And he's talking about, you know, a couple people working in the field, one is saved and goes to heaven. He's talking about a couple women there working in the mill, you know, one saved and goes to heaven, and the other ones are left behind. Folks, we don't want to be left behind. He's reiterating, be watchful. You know, he gives us a call to be ready, to not only for us, but to take care of those of us in our home and our families. And I think one of the terrible things would be is to get to heaven and have the Lord say, where's your kids? Where's your family? Where's this? Where's your friends? I think that'd be really hard on me. And pray for me with that. And I'll pray for you guys. We really want to be in a position where we can say that here with us, Lord, we work so hard, Lord, you blessed us. And be prayerful, be ready, be vigilant on that kind of stuff. And just remember, I wrote down a couple things that I passed this to Kevin is, again, you know, we've talked about suddenly this is going to happen. It's unexpected, folks. There's a mystery here. It's coming out of nowhere. So we have that call to readiness. We have that call to preparedness. Semper paratus, apparatus. We have that call. And we got to cultivate the mindset that this could happen today. This could happen a minute from now. This could happen tomorrow morning. Work on your family. Work on your friends in a loving, kind way. Share the gospel. Drag them to church. I had a husband tell me the other night when we were at a church, we were preaching up in Virginia, and we just got home. And while we were preaching up in Northern Virginia, this husband was there. I hadn't met him before. I had met his wife. And I said, how did you get to church? How long you been coming? And he said, I had a drug problem. And I said, what do you mean? He says, my wife drugged me to church. She said, you want me to be a good wife? I need you to come to church with me. And you want me to do this? We'll go out to lunch, but we're coming to church. And he said, you know, I just started coming to church. Said something. I got saved. And folks, whatever it takes with that preparedness and readiness, live with anticipation that this is going to happen. Anticipate that it's coming and be ready for it, Kevin.
Yeah. You know, you were touching on the idea of what Jesus, the text of what he is saying, where he said, the good man of the house, if he had been watching, he would not, the man of the house is not going to let someone in if he's watching, you know, if he's vigilant to come and break into his house. And the Lord's using that to refer to himself. So, you know, I can be to you someone that's going to, you know, have to force my way and break in and take you to judgment, which is what this discourse involves, the end of the tribulation, the going to judgment. So he's saying, I can be the bad guy in your mind, or I can be the good guy. Kind of like Doug, you were saying, I can be the guys dragging you to, you know, be the wife dragging you to church. But Jesus is saying, you know, all right, if you feel like you're being slammed and dealt with hard, just give in. Say, oh, uncle, yes, okay. All right, God, you got my attention. And that's the spirit of what the attitude of the Lord here is. You know what? If you're watching for this, and if you're looking at the signs of the times, you know, the seasons and how things are coming to pass, then this isn't going to surprise you. And what you will do, if you're wise, is just say, okay, I'm going to go ahead and let the Lord in the house now, and saying, Lord, I give you, like Jeremiah 18, my vessel that is made of clay is ruined. You know, the earth, the world's not going the way I expected. I lost my job. I lost this. Things are going bad. I lost my marriage. So I'm giving you what's left, and you take the clay and make it another vessel as seemed good to the potter to make it. So as wisdom says, things are not going well. And so I'm going to invite Jesus Christ into the mess. And let me just tell you, God specializes in messed up vessels, in ruined things, in traumatic experiences. He loves to deal with that. I was listening to a little video of Jim Carrey talking. I don't know a whole lot about the guy, and I don't know if he's saved, but he was talking about salvation by grace, and it's pretty cool, but this is what he said. He said, trauma, this is almost word for word, trauma woke me up and showed me that I was in need of God. And that is what Jesus Christ is saying. Hey, the world is going to be traumatized. Wake up and say, Lord, I don't understand it and I don't like it, but I do know this. I'm not going to, you know, as it were, harden my neck and dig in my heels against you. I want to bring you in now. And Doug, that's, I think, for the best response for anything negative, anything bad, someone messing with you, just say, God, look at this. This is a mess. Call the devil off. Come into my life and do the thing that seems good to you.
Yeah, that makes so much sense, and I think it goes with what we're talking about here. I really do. Is, you know, that preparedness, calling God all the time, calling on Him in the good and the bad. You know, sometimes we've become a generation of God I need, and when I say we, I'm always pointing at myself because I'm guilty of that. And I gotta tell you, you know, my prayer life, it needs to get better. I this morning I was dealing with that as well. As I was, you know, I went over and had some occupational therapy on my, you know, we're getting old, and you go through things, you go through spats, but I said, you know, God, I forgot to pray this morning. You know, I listened to my Bible, I read it, I forgot to have a good earnest prayer and pray for people to love. And some of you, you know, you Facebook message me, text, I pray for you. Every time I see a message coming in that I hear from you guys, and I pray for you, and readiness is the whole spectrum, like Kevin's saying. I'm saying, God, I need your help right now. Help me, Lord. And then being prepared ahead of time and saying, God, before I get there, these things are in my life. Would you take them from me? You know, we got besetting sin. And it's easy to get turned sideways on a spouse. It's easy to get turned sideways on your kids. It's easy to get turned sideways on your friends or your pastors when we're not prepared, when we're not ready. I'll tell you, folks, when we're not ready. Remember that movie? There was a movie called Fireproof. And and I'll tell you, talked about being prepared, being ready, and how he wasn't. And he was losing his wife and losing the way he did things. And folks, you know, some men and some women can do exactly the right things, and bad things can still happen. But I know this. I know that God has done things in my life that have been incredible when I'm prepared. He's done things in my life when I'm not prepared, but more often than not, when I'm prayerful, prepared, loving, ready to go, oh my, God can do some things in my life, and it's going to be a better day. So be that person. Remember the thief. He likened things onto the thief. You know, he gives us a comparison, the need to be constantly vigilant, looking around, knowing who you're letting in, dragging people to church. Give your family a drug problem. Well, we really do love you, folks. We love the opportunity, and we know that, dragging them in. I drug them to church. Listen, we love you guys, and we're looking forward to being together tomorrow. We're going to talk about our role as servants. So the servant's role tomorrow. May God bless you. Thank you.
Thank you for listening to our broadcast. At Help for Wounded Spirits, we believe the Bible and place great importance on you having a personal relationship with your Lord and Savior. The Bible delivers a clear and simple message of salvation, outlining how you can begin your personal relationship now. First, recognize that you are a sinner, as all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Second, understand that there is a cost to our sin, as the wages of sin is death. Third, realize that Jesus alone paid that price. To receive salvation, simply ask the Lord to save you in Jesus' name while believing in your heart that He alone can save you, and He will. If we can help you with your salvation or to direct you to a local church, please do not hesitate to contact us. For additional helpful resources, including our new TV series, more information, or to donate and support this crucial ministry, please visit us at woundedspirits.com. May God bless you.